A reading from the book of the prophet Jeremiah. You duped me, O Lord, and I let myself be duped. You were too strong for me, and you triumphed. All the day I am an object of laughter. Everyone mocks me. Whenever I speak, I must cry out. Violence and outrage is my message. The word of the Lord has brought me derision and reproach all the day. I say to myself, I will not mention him. I will speak in his name no more. But then it becomes like a fire burning in my heart, imprisoned in my bones. I grow weary holding it in. I cannot endure it. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
My soul is thirsting for you, O Lord, thirsting for you, my God. My soul is thirsting for you, O Lord, thirsting for you, my God. O God, you are my God, at dawn I seek you. For you my soul is thirsting, for you my flesh is pining, like a dry, weary land without water. My soul is thirsting for you, O Lord, thirsting for you, my God. I have come before you in the sanctuary to behold your strength and your glory. Your loving mercy is better than life. My lips will speak your praise. My soul is thirsting for you, O Lord, thirsting for you, my God. I will bless you all my life. In your name I will lift up my hands. My soul shall be filled as with a banquet. With joyful lips my mouth shall praise you. My soul is thirsting for you, O Lord, thirsting for you, my God. For you have been my strength. In the shadow of your wings I rejoice. My soul clings fast to you. Your right hand upholds me. My soul is thirsting for you, O Lord, thirsting for you, my God.
A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Romans. I urge you, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, your spiritual worship. Do not conform yourselves to this age, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and pleasing and perfect. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Jesus Christ, enlighten the eyes of our hearts, that we may know what is the hope that belongs to our call. Alleluia.
The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer greatly from the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised. Then Peter took Jesus aside and began to rebuke him. God forbid, Lord, no such thing shall ever happen to you. He turned and said to Peter, Get behind me, Satan. You are an obstacle to me. You are thinking not as God does, but as human beings do. Then Jesus said to his disciples, Whoever wishes to come after me must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. What profit would there be for one to gain the whole world and forfeit his life? Or what can one give in exchange for his life? For the Son of Man will come with his angels in his Father's glory, and then he will repay all according to his conduct. The Gospel of the Lord. It can sometimes be very enlightening to learn from another what we at one point said to them or in their presence, because often our recollection of the words can be a little bit different from the memory that another person might try to bring to our recollection. I'd like to share a little story from a time in a parish, and the good thing about my 5 years of being a priest is that there's been a number of parishes, so you have no idea what parish I'm talking about when I share this story. It was at a May crowning, so after Mass, there were going to be some prayers offered. That was made clear at Mass. I think that's an important thing to say. And there's a little procession. Let's say there were a few first communicants involved with the crowning of the statue of the Blessed Mother. And when the procession after Mass gets to the shrine to the Blessed Mother in said church, there is a person lighting a candle there in the shrine. I recall saying to this person, I think it would be best if you waited until after the May crowning to come light your candle. That way we can have our prayers here. I was informed in a letter that I received later that week that this was the first time that said person, who was a visitor to that church that weekend, had ever been kicked out of a Catholic church before. Well, enough to say at least that either my words were a little harsher than I recall them being, or perhaps the other person was a little bit primed to hear something a little bit more antagonistic than I was trying to say in that moment. I'm sure it's an experience that all of us can relate to, and often it's a combination of both, that we don't anticipate the way our words will be received by another person, and we and others often don't give the benefit of the doubt to the reason another person has chosen that specific expression, that timing, in order to deliver a message. And so, it is good for us to make sure that we are looking at the words that our Savior speaks to Peter in the gospel today and understanding what he's really communicating. And we do that keeping in mind an important point, that what I said about how we being the imperfect, the sinners of the world, can often choose words that, as we look back on them, weren't the best ones. Maybe we're communicating something that we didn't want to say. That's not the case with our Savior, that he is going to choose words that are always rooted in love, always appropriate for the moment and for the person, charitable words. And so, when we see him speak to Peter today, the way that he speaks to Peter is an expression of his love, both in what he calls Peter and what he tells Peter to do. So let's begin with what he calls Peter. The most shocking, of course, being Satan. When we hear that word, you know, we often go to the devil, Lucifer, the one who has completely abandoned God. And this is a helpful association to have, but the name and the word in itself comes from a more basic meaning, the meaning of an adversary, someone who is working against another force. And so our Lord is not yet going to the extreme of saying that Peter has totally abandoned him, but he needs to call to Peter's attention that he is working against his plan, or rather, the plan of the Father. And Peter needs to know this. He follows it up with an important, you know, compliment to that name that he calls Peter to begin with. You are an obstacle to me, which calls to mind what we just heard last week in the gospel that precedes this one, a gospel where our Savior has lifted up Peter as an example to others, to the other disciples, for two important reasons. Because he offered an important insight into who Jesus is, the Son of God, and he did that not from his own power and not because others told him, but because the Father had revealed it to him and he had accepted that revelation from the Father. And so he's held up and he was given that name of rock, right? And today he is called an obstacle. And the word there that our Savior chooses is a stone that someone would trip on. A compliment in another way, too, then, to what happened last week or just moments earlier in the gospel where he's called a rock to be built upon. Now he is called a rock which others will trip over. And not just any others, but an obstacle to me, says the Savior. An invitation for Peter to consider that he must continually examine his life to see if he is the right type of rock, right, in the way that the Savior is leading him. And so this first part, the way that our Savior addresses Peter, is an important insight for all of us about the way that God is going to speak to us, if you will, or help us to understand something about ourselves. Because as much as we should frequently try to return in prayer to letting God speak to us about who we are in his eyes, in the very positive sense, as his beloved children, as one who was made in his image, as one who he has practiced mercy towards, as one who he will be unfailingly faithful towards. We need to remember these things and we need to dwell on them. But there are times where our Savior, our loving God, is not just going to speak to us in these ways. There will be times in our life, in our journey, especially in the midst of our imperfections and our sinfulness, where our God will speak to us something that makes us uncomfortable, something that might even sound or seem to be offensive. But what he's trying to do is help us to see where we are so that we can move beyond that and get to a place that is better. And he needs to speak to Peter today these words then so that Peter can recognize where he is, where he's placed himself. And with that first recognition then, follow up with his instruction. So then we get to that instruction. Not an instruction where he says, go away, leave me, I'm done with you. But where he says to Peter, get behind me. Also, at first glance, an instruction that sounds like a punishment. Something that is done only because Peter has done something bad. But let's look at what he continues to say to his disciples. He has spoken to Peter, first of all, that instruction, get behind me. And then he continues to speak to his disciples. Whoever wishes to come after me must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. So with his words to Peter, with his words to the disciples, three important times in our gospel today, he is explaining that the place of the disciple is a place of following. And so he's not sending Peter there just for a time to get him, you know, back into the right mindset. He's sending him there to remain there. Yes, he's going to continue to enjoy with Peter fellowship, times where they're going to be speaking with one another, looking at one another, sharing. But also, he needs his disciples, Peter and the rest of them, to be willing to always be humble, to follow after him. And this is the same for us too, that he's going to give us these instructions, not so that we can just be corrected for a moment, but so that we can live in the correct place. And lastly, let us also consider the reason that our Lord speaks to Peter in this way and with these instructions. Why does our Lord speak to Peter as an obstacle, and why does he speak to him about the need to follow him? Peter, after all, is trying to show his love for his Savior, for his Master. But his love has become distorted. His love has gotten to a place where he would simply wish to keep his Master safe. He even brings it to a prayer. God forbid, Lord, that any of these things that you've described should happen to you, that you should suffer, experience pain, that you should die. Our Lord needs Peter to keep growing in love for him, but he needs that love to be purified, to become a love that will allow him to go where the Father leads him. And for us too in our lives, how is it that we are called to purify our love in this way? Especially toward those, you know, in whose lives we might have exercised some special role of care, building them up, leading them, teaching them, feeding them, giving them safety, making them whole and healthy, making them successful through our efforts. The day will come where we are invited to allow them to choose for their life the path of offering and sacrifice, where we start to see the way that the offering of their lives starts to wear on them and maybe make them tired, make them experience difficulty, maybe keep them from spending the time with us that we wish they would be sharing with us. But our Savior's words to Peter are words that he will speak to us when we would try to keep them from that sacrifice of their life. Get behind me, Satan. Once again, follow me. Don't work against me, is what our Savior says when he speaks those words. Sometimes harsh in order to wake us up, but the deeper meaning is always something that shows not only what he's asking us to do, but how, by asking us, what he's really doing is inviting us to walk with him in his way. And so today in this Holy Mass, where our Savior brings before our eyes again, representing for us his offering on Calvary, making that offering once again accessible to us in this holy sacrifice of the Mass, Let's allow the way that he brings the cross before our eyes to be something that can shape our lives, the way that we are meant to form our lives to be like his, as a life of offering, of losing our life for the sake of others. And let us ask too, like Peter was challenged today, to accept the way that we're going to have to love others who we cherish very dearly by allowing them too to walk that same way. There are important graces that we need in order to do that, in order to abandon our expectations to the plans of God. Today, we allow ourselves to be rooted in the promise and the hope that he speaks of. Our Savior speaks not only of the cross, but of the life that comes. And we too, today, ask that he would help us to be more convinced of the way, that the words that he speaks to us in challenge are words that he speaks to lead us to greater life, and the way that he asks us and those who we love to embrace the life of offering will lead us to share with him in that third day, which he has won for us.